everybody.
Good evening.
Tonight, we're gonna be looking at Romans chapter five, verses 12 through 16. And we've seen, as we've been going through the book of Romans, in Paul's letter, it starts off pretty rough for mankind, as we learn that no one is righteous, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that God has wrath against sin. God's wrath is justified, and God's righteousness will be portrayed in the judgment. He's a righteous judge. And for man, since we're sinners, no one could really stand before God. And now we've seen in chapter 4 and in chapter 5, Paul has now given us that hope that we have because of Jesus. And that's God demonstrating his love for us through sending Jesus down here on earth to die for our sins. And now Paul is now starting to tell us that we have confidence to stand before God because of what Jesus has done. And in verse 1 of chapter 5, when we went over that, we see that we're justified through Christ, knowing that God has made peace with us through Jesus in the atoning work that Jesus has done. And then in verse 2, because we're justified, we're brought into a place of grace in which we can stand before God. And then also in verse 3, we see because we are justified, we have hope in enduring through the struggles and hardships and sufferings that we have in this life. There's hope for us. The hope is not here on earth. The hope is eternally with God and with Jesus in heaven. And then in verses 8 and 10, we see that because Jesus has died for us while we were sinners, now we are saved from God's wrath. There is a forgiveness of sins. And so we won't have to face God's wrath. And then in verse 11, because of Jesus' death, we're reconciled to God. And we have that ability now, not only the hope, but also the ability to rejoice and celebrate in what Jesus has done for us. And so I'll start off with reading Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 16. And in the little heading that I have over this paragraph, it says, death through Adam and life through Christ. What is titled here. It says, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned. To be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not charged against anyone's account where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command as did Adam, who is a pattern of the one to come. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if many died by the trespass of one, by that grace of one man, Jesus Christ, overflowed to the many, nor can the gift of God be compared with the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and has brought justification. So here we see that sin came into the world through one man. And because of that sin, death also was introduced into the world. But then in the same way, life came into the world through one man. And Paul's relaying the effects of Adam and his sin to the importance of the story of Jesus coming in and bringing the forgiveness of sin and adding that life to it. And so again, when we see it's one man. And when you think about that nowadays, it's like How can one man affect the whole world, all mankind? But in God's work, that can happen. And it did, obviously. And so that one man is Adam, and then he is a light, even though there's a huge separation, but he's that one type, like Jesus was coming. And Jesus is the one that brings life. And so to look at this, I was going to go back to Genesis and look at the story of Adam. And it's going to be kind of a lengthy reading, but Genesis chapter 2, verses 8 through Genesis 3, verse 12, and then Genesis 3, verse 20 to 24. So again, that's Genesis 2, 8, and I'll go all the way to 3, 12, and then I'll skip over to 3, 20 to 24. So it says, "Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. The Lord God gave all kinds of trees. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river watering the garden flowed from Eden. From there it was separated into four headwaters. The name of the first is Bison. It winds through the entire land of Hivla, where there is gold. The gold of that land is good. Aromatic resin and onyx are also there. The name of the second river is Gihon. It winds through the entire land of Cush. The name of the third is the Tigris. It runs along the east side of Asher. And the fourth river is Euphrates. The Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded man, 'You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die.' The Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him.' Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. The Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs, and then he closed up the place with the flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib that he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die.' 'You will not certainly die,' the serpent said to the woman, 'for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees in the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman that you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Now I'm going to go to verse 20. Adam named his wife Eve because she would become the mother of all the living. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. And the Lord God said to the man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat it and live forever. So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. After he drove the man out, he placed in the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. So here we see that God, after creation, we're seeing that this was a picture of perfection. This was a picture of paradise, and that there was no sin in the garden at that time. There was no sin. And everything God had created, we're told, is very good. And it was so good that God even comes down and dwells with Adam and Eve. He walks with them. He talks with them. They get to see him. And when Adam and Eve heard the Lord walking in the garden, they tried to hide themselves from the presence of God because they knew that they had sinned. They knew that they had disobeyed the one command that God gave them. So with Adam and Eve, sin was introduced to the creation that God did not create. He didn't. His creation was perfect, but now they have introduced sin into the creation that did not exist before. And so since Adam sinned, the immediate consequence of sin is separation from God. And we see that take place as God, obviously God loves them because he takes care of them. He clothes them, but then he banishes them from the garden. They have to be separated from God. And they were expelled, picturing a separation of God and his presence. And so again, that's a picture for us that we cannot stand before God with the problem of sin. So also, God loves them because he also expelled them before they were tempted, or if they had that inclination to eat from the tree of life, God was keeping them from doing that. And so sin has consequences, and those consequences are the spiritual death, which is separation from God. And that's the death that they were talking about. It wasn't a physical death, but it's that separation from God. And so the point reflected in verse 12, that we are all separated from God because all of us sin, but each one of us has broken God's law, and for that reason we experience spiritual death. We do not physically die because each one of us sins, but we spiritually die because we're separated from God. And it's our sins that separate us from God. And so in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 20, it reads, so in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 20, sorry about that, it reads, "The person who sins is the one who will die. The child will not be punished for the parent's sin, and the parents will not be punished for the child's sin. Righteous people will be rewarded for their own righteous behavior, and the wicked people will be punished for their own wickedness." So again, this is pointing to we'll be judged on what we do on our end as far as being wicked and sinful, but then also any good deeds that we do also, that will be put towards us also. So it's not because of anything that anyone else has done. It's for what we do is what we're going to be judged on. And in verse 13, we point out, Paul points out that sin in the There was sin in the world before the law of Moses. So what he's saying here is that there was laws given before the law of Moses. Because, again, as we read, if there's no law, there can be no sin. But there was sin, so there was some type of law that had come from God to man to have sin take place. And again, like it said, where there's no law, sin cannot be counted. And then in verse 14, we see spiritual death has reigned from Adam to Moses, and sin was in the world, and there was no law. But at the law of Moses, Adam's sin was not like the sins of others. Adam had a direct command from God, and he broke that. The command to Adam was certainly different than the commands given to everyone after Adam. Adam lived in paradise. He was able to walk with God, talk with God, and really had a privilege of naming all the animals, all the birds, everything, all that God created. And he was just told, just don't eat from the tree of knowledge and good and evil. So he lived in a different world. He lived in a perfect world, one that God had designed, and it was sin-free. It was sin-free. And so Adam's sin had a completely different effect on the world than anyone else's sin. And again, that was Adam. He's a type of one who was to come. And that one to come was Jesus. And again, what Jesus did affected the whole world in his sacrifice. And Adam's effect on humanity was that he died a spiritual death, just as we do also. But Jesus has done something of greater weight and impact. Jesus' effect on humanity was grace. And grace abounded for many. Because of what Jesus did, many have grace abounding. We sin, but through the grace of Jesus, it is overflowing. And Paul calls it a gift of overflowing. It's almost like the glass being not just full, but it's continuing to just run over and run over and run over. And that's what Jesus' sacrifice does for us. His blood just continues to wash and wash and wash. It's overflowing. And that's only because of the gift of God. And sin and death have overcome us, but grace is overflowing. Paul is impressing upon us the undeserved nature of Christ's work. The grace of Jesus reverses the power of sin. And God is displaying his glory over judgment and over condemnation. God doesn't want to condemn us. He wants to love us and to have us. And that's his way of sending Jesus to display his glory over that. God's purpose is not to destroy us with his wrath, but God wants to save us with his overflowing love for us. Through the gift of grace through Jesus. In Adam's act, verse 16, we have Adam's act of disobedience brought condemnation into the world, sin and death and separation from God. In the garden, there was no condemnation. As we say, God was walking with them. There was no sin. And Adam and Eve were able to be in the presence of God. But that's not so now. Jesus brought something else into the world that's greater than Adam's act of disobedience. Jesus' obedience brought justification into the world. And without Jesus, there was no hope for us as mankind. Our sins would continue to separate us from God. But Jesus brings in forgiveness and justification into the world. And when Jesus comes, he introduces justification to the world. So at the close of this lesson, we'd like to offer an invitation to come in contact with that gift of grace through Jesus. God extends his love to you. If there's anyone here that has not got in touch with the love of Jesus and the grace that he brings, we would love to share the gospel with you. And in God's word, the Bible, he gives us a plan of salvation on how to come and become a follower of Christ. And first, you have to hear the gospel. And after you hear it, you need to believe it. To believe that Jesus is the Son of God, he came down and died for your sins. Then you need to repent for your sins. You have to realize that you need to confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And then you need to be baptized. And at that time, your sins will be forgiven. You'll be born anew. You'll be given the gift of the Holy Spirit. And God will add you to his church. And then you just live your life continually to be faithful and true to God's word. And so tonight we extend that invitation to anybody who might have a need, or maybe there's a need, prayer request, or something going on in your life. Feel free to come forward as we stand to sing the invitation song. And if you're not comfortable coming up in front of everybody, you can come to one of us at the end of that song or at the end of the lesson, and we'll do our best to help you.
Okay. 662.